scripture lesson this morning is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 through 18 and 27 through 31. Please feel free to follow along in your own Bible, the Pew Bible, or on the screen. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ron. I'm Pastor Tom Palmer. I'm a work-in-progress pastor in a work-in-progress congregation. So if you're a guest with us this day and you don't have it all together all the time, you've come to the right place. This has been a place of grace for over 140 years where all are beloved, all belong, and all can become the people God has created us to be through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're here today, a guest with us this day, or if you're taking advantage of a four-day weekend and coming to us through Facebook Live, we welcome you this day. And today we are continuing a message series entitled Uniquely Gifted. Uniquely Gifted. And last week we were given, each of us were given a puzzle piece. A puzzle piece was given to each one of us. And in that process, we were asked to reaffirm, I am uniquely gifted. Can you say that with me? I am uniquely gifted. A piece in God's perfect plan. Together? A piece in God's perfect plan. Now, we affirm that because sometimes we forget that. Paul begins 1 Corinthians 12 with this statement concerning spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be uninformed. Now, he wouldn't have said that if we're always informed about spiritual gifts. And so we sometimes forget the gifts that we have been given, just like sometimes I forget. I brought Exhibit A here for us this morning. I found in the midst of the chaos of my desk one day, I found a gift card, and it said, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas 2017, okay? Now, I was feeling bad until I researched. The reality is that last year, according to the most recent studies, $1 billion of gift cards went unused. Gifts that were given but remain unused. Why would we not use a gift that we were given? That's exactly, I believe, what God says over us. Why would they not use the gifts they were given? And so because of that, our peace is sometimes missing. And instead of our the body of Christ or the image of Christ looking like this, and Schaefer, if we could take a look, instead of looking like this, sometimes the image of Christ, the body of Christ, looks like this. Pieces are missing. And so the image of Christ, the body of Christ, is not made evident in the world. People do not see. Now, why would that be? It seems as though many are not exercising their spiritual gifts today. And it goes back a long time in the history of the church. Sometimes we have drifted from God's original plan. In the early church, we see everyone exercising their spiritual gifts. But in time, the church drifted and there was a separation between clergy and laity. And sometimes clergy would get all about their power instead of empowering the laity. And so what we find in Scripture is the calling in Ephesians chapter 4. This is what the leadership is to do, to equip God's people, to equip God's saints for the work of ministry. Instead of hogging the ministry or keeping the power, we're called to empower one another in the body of Christ. And so that's what this message series is really all about. It is about empowering one another in the body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, because you are uniquely gifted. You were given gifts by God. And no, we're not always aware of them at the present moment. But God has given us gifts, and we are a piece in God's perfect plan. And when we live into that, we experience fulfillment, and there is fruitful ministry. But when we don't, ministry is left undone, and we are less fulfilled. God created us for a purpose. God created us all uniquely, and every one of us that have been brought into this relationship with Christ, every single one of us have a purpose. And when we can tap into that purpose, we don't just live life as if we just had a pulse. We can have passion. We're not just running out the clock. We can make the minutes count. We were made for a destiny. We were made for something that will live beyond us, something bigger than ourselves. And I believe it's exciting to think about that the ministry we do today will have implications 140 years from now. Just as those who started this church had ministry that we experience today. Ministry that outlives us. Ministry that continues. That's our destiny. That's our calling. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about the gifts that God has given, particularly in Scripture. We have an opportunity then to live into those in our learning time as we have an inventory that we're going to be taking. Staff's going to be taking that inventory. Invite you to take that inventory as part of learning time or your life group, because this is a way we equip one another, we empower one another. There are these opportunities that we have as we live into this call to be the body of Christ, to be the hands and feet of Christ in this day. So buckle your seatbelts this morning, because we're going to go on a tour of spiritual gifts. We're not going to get all through all of them today, but we're going to talk about several of them today that will be important for us as we grow together. So the first one we're going to talk about is the gift of being an apostle. Being an apostle, okay? I want to see, how many apostles do we have in the room today? Any apostles? Any apostles? Okay. So you might say, well, of course there are no apostles in this room today, because the apostles are over there in stained glass. See the stained glass window there? That's where the apostles are. Jesus called 12 apostles, right? Well, in a way, that is right. But what we see is that later, others are called into this ministry of apostleship, because it means one that is sent in a particular way. The definition is before you there. It is the divine ability to birth new ministries, churches, and leaders where the gospel is not being preached. And so we have this apostleship. Paul talks about being called to be an apostle, one sent to birth something new. And in Romans chapter 16, get this, Paul talks about Andronicus and Junia, a female name, men and women called to be apostles, sent to do new things and create new works. We see examples of this, new works that are being done. People dreaming in an entrepreneurial kind of way about something new. Something new that's getting given birth within them. I think of Rock Hill's Dream is one of those new ministries. So I think of Coppell Cares some 8 years ago. Some people were dreaming about something new. That's the gift of apostleship. I think about 140 years ago, there were 15 or so that gathered together and said, let's do something new. That's apostleship. There are apostles in our midst, people who lead us into dreaming new dreams. Next, prophecy. Who has the gift of prophecy in this room? Anyone? Anyone? Gift of prophecy. Well, you might, in ways that you're not fully aware of right now. Because sometimes we think of prophecy as something, someone who's able to tell the future. Have a prophecy about the future. But in the Bible, prophecy is more so about people being able to speak truth in the present. Be able to cut through the clutter and speak a word of truth to us. To be able to, a holy gift of speaking under inspiration, to speak forth the mind and counsel of God. Yes, sometimes that is able to see into mysteries, but most of the time the gift of prophecy is a person who's able to speak truth into a person's life or into a community's life. To be able to say that timely word that is so important. Let me give you an example. I was a senior in high school, just graduated actually, and I was full of myself, and I was smarter than God, okay? And so there was a woman that was in our church, Weta Gray, that invited me over to her house one evening and gave me a graduation gift. But as I was leaving, she gave me this gift. She said to me, "Tommy, you are a leader." And I said, "Yes, I sure am. I sure am. You are a leader. And you will either lead people to God or away from God." Microphone drop. I'm praying that you will lead people to God. Now, that wasn't a word that I wanted to hear at that point. It wasn't a word that was maybe she wanted to share in the sense of this might be hard to hear. But she said it in love, and it changed my life. It was a word of truth that she spoke over me. God has called some in our midst to cut through the stuff and give us a word. It's always spoken in love, but give us a word. That's the word that's a word from a prophet. And God calls prophets today. Third is evangelism. I know we're Methodists. We know evangelism, right? Well, our movement was started by an evangelist, right? We've got evangelists in our midst, right? Well, I think sometimes things get in the way of our understanding of evangelism. If we think of evangelism as something like this, okay, or something like this, you know, that may get in the way of us exercising a gift of evangelism. But evangelism is something different than that. Let's look at the definition. Evangelism is the God-given ability to spread the good news of Jesus Christ by public preaching or personal witness. And often it is that personal relationship with other people. It is, I love 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and that is this. It says, "Always be prepared to give an account of the hope that is within you." The hope that is within you with gentleness and reverence. Always be prepared to give an account of the hope that is within you. What we need in a world today, a world where people are hoping in a lot of different things. Yesterday I was hoping in the Longhorns, and sooner or later I'm going to figure out that that's not where the hope comes from. The hope is not in a team. The hope is not in our IRA or our retirement plan. Hope is not in another person or someone who's going to ask us to the homecoming dance. Hope is not found there. That doesn't last. Hope comes from an eternal source. And there are some in our midst that are particularly gifted. While all of us need to share that hope, some of us are particularly gifted at being able to encourage people, to be able to help them see a deeper hope in their life, to help them to see a deeper meaning in their life, to have those conversations that are gracious, that remind people that they're loved by God and that God claims them. That's the gift of evangelism. The gift of evangelism. Evangelism simply means telling the good news. People need good news today. And people need to be encouraged that they matter to God, that God loves them. Many of us can exercise the gift of evangelism. Pastoring and associated with this, the shepherding is teaching in that. Now, pastoring is a gift, and you might think, well, that's really the gift of the ordained. And it is the gift of persons that are called to the ordained ministry. And I would want to say this, is that there may be people in our midst, particularly the younger people that might feel called to some kind of ordained ministry. And I just lift that out because I have heard in the churches I have served over the past 32 years that sometimes a young person would come to me and say, you know, I felt called to the ministry, this call to ordained ministry, but I was discouraged by a family member because I wouldn't make enough money. Friends, I just saw a study of the richest people in the world. And you know what the richest people in the world think? That they don't have enough money. In this world, we will never have enough money, but if God calls you, God will provide. Please, when you're young people, when you're grandchildren, when someone's talking with you about their dreams, let's not go there. Let's not just go there and squash a dream just because it's not about money. I know a lot of people that their lives have been about money. And friends, they're miserable people. They're miserable people. Every one of us want more for the next generation. So shepherding gifts, pastoral gifts are given. And they don't have to be among the ordained. I've seen pastors that are lay people who pastor small groups and pastor in learning time, do pastoral ministry in powerful, powerful ways. And often this is associated with teaching as well. And so if we can see the next slide, it's the bestowed gift of God to understand and clearly communicate God's truths. Pastors can have this gift, but lay persons. I tell you, the most gifted teacher I believe I've ever experienced in the church shepherded an airplane during the week and then shepherded people through teaching, Bible study on their weekends. Wilson Bell, you know that person. Person that was a gifted teacher, the most gifted teacher that I've ever known. That's a gift that God gives to those that are open to these gifts and that God has uniquely given us in the wiring for that gift. Teaching. The next gift, miracles. God-given ability to perform miraculous signs and wonders which testify to the truth of the gospel. Miracles. Do they happen today? Do they happen today? Sometimes I believe God works outside the ordinary in extraordinary ways. It doesn't happen ordinarily, I believe, because that would make the extraordinary ordinary. So it's not every day that it happens, but I do believe it happens. Bishop James Swanson was in Cambodia, and he was on a mission trip, and he was in a conversation with a man who shared a story with him about a man. He was actually initially from Laos, and his wife gave him a Bible, which was a beautiful gift. He appreciated that beautiful gift. She gave him a Bible, and he said, "These pages are wonderful, and they're perfect for rolling cigarettes." And so he would take his Bible, and he would. He would tear out a page, and he wouldn't let his wife know, you know, but he'd secretly tear out a page. These are perfect for rolling cigarettes, you know. He would roll a cigarette, and he'd smoke it, and then when he needed another one, he'd roll it and smoke it. And but then there came to a day where he just glanced at the page before he tore it out, and it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." And something in that verse spoke to him, and he couldn't tear out that page. He flipped over to Acts, and he tore out another page, and he rolled the cigarette, you know, and he smoked it. But that page, he couldn't shake it. It spoke to him. And he got to the point where he started reading about this one who loved the world so much that he received this gift in his heart. And he began to share the good news with his village. And then when he shared the good news with his village, he wanted to take it to another village. And so he went on to another village one night, but he didn't get quite to that village. And so he had to stop and camp in the jungle. And he had a fire there that he was warming himself by. And he was there. And just as he was warming himself and about to go to sleep for the night, he thought he had this feeling of having eyes on him. And he looked over and there was a tiger. And Bishop Swanson says this man prayed like he never prayed in his life, but he thought, you know, this is probably it. And so he began to pray, and he just leaned down, kind of made a ball, and he heard the tiger pounce, and he just braced himself for impact, and nothing happened. And he heard a landing, and the tiger jumped over him and went on. That man got up and he went to that village and he shared his story about God's love in his life. And no one would listen to him. But then he got this nudge. I'm going to share about the tiger. And so he said, I had an experience with a tiger. And people started listening. And people started listening because they wanted to know about the God who could shut the mouth of a tiger. Now that doesn't happen in an ordinary situation. But that village heard the good news because of something extraordinary. Miracles do happen today. And miracles can happen to bring people to Christ, to bring the love of God into a person's life. If we are open to what God can do, it doesn't happen all the time. It wouldn't be a miracle then. It wouldn't be extraordinary then. But it does happen for those that are open. Healing. Healing is a gift. We see this gift in the medical professions. We see this gift in the therapeutic professions. It's the divine ability to bring physical, emotional, or spiritual wholeness to others. And it often is exemplified in our hospitals and in our rehab centers and in our counseling offices. But it's also experienced in prayer. And I know of surgeons who ask, who feel the nudge sometimes to pray with someone before they're going into surgery. There are these healing gifts that bring wholeness and life to people. Healing doesn't always occur in this life. In fact, everyone who has experienced healing in this life, because we're all mortal, will ultimately need the eternal healing that heaven is about. But that doesn't mean we can't be agents of healing for one another, emotional, physical, spiritual. There are healing gifts in the body of Christ, and that we can pray. We can be God's people in prayer. Then we have the next gift is the gift of tongues. It's the holy gift of speaking a message from God to the people in a language one has not naturally learned. We see this in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost as the 120 that had been gathered in the upper room, the 12 and the others that were followers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon them and they were able to communicate in ways they had not learned to the people who were gathered in Jerusalem from around the world. And so we see that gift that was given to the church. Later in the book of letter to the Corinthians, we see that the Corinthians were exercising their gift in their worship services. And Paul gives them a word of admonishment here because their worship service were becoming chaotic and they were speaking in languages people couldn't understand and there was no interpretation. So he said, if you don't have interpretation, if people can't understand what you're saying, don't do that in the church. Don't do that in worship. But he does mention that there are gifts that people have in prayer. And I believe this is a gift that some have in terms of their prayer life. That sometimes there are experiences in prayer when our words are inadequate. Romans 8:26 says that sometimes we pray through the Spirit with groanings and utterances too deep for words. Sometimes a person deep in prayer might require words more than their own language can offer. And so sometimes this is a gift that some people have. If God gives that gift, I'm not going to get in the way of that gift, but there must be order in the church. So that's a gift, really, I believe, more for personal prayer and places of deep prayer that some people have. And then we have the gift of serving. The God-given ability to work alongside others in performing practical and often behind-the-scenes tasks to sustain and enhance the body of Christ. Today, we're in this place today, and we're comfortable because somebody took care of the room, took care of the air conditioning. You were greeted when you came in. Ushers were doing their work. We have choir members who have practiced hard and share the gifts that God has given them. They serve. We have people who are going to be serving us coffee and donuts. Now, you think, is donuts a ministry? Yes, donuts, there is a ministry in donuts. And I want to tell you that sometimes I've had people come to me and say, thank you for having donuts because my daughter, my son, was able to sit through worship and experience worship because they had a donut before worship. If a donut helps someone worship God, I'm all for donuts, friends. I am all for donuts. I'm all for pretzel rolls. I'm all for that which will help us then experience worship. And that team needs more people. And so if you would like to provide an opportunity for a child to be able to experience worship because they've had a donut, they've had a pretzel roll before the service, talk to us, because there's a place of serving. There are places of serving. They're abundant. And the church cannot be the church without people who serve. Now, sometimes people who serve, we see a lot of people, 20% doing 80% of the work, and that's why we need the next gift. To avoid burnout, we need administration. We need someone who brings order and organization. It's a divine gift to organize and manage information, people, events, and resources to accomplish the objectives of ministry. Because we have all these different gifts, but if the gifts are not being used in a concerted kind of way, it's chaos. It's like an orchestra being directed. If they're all playing, they're all over the map. There's not going to be harmony. It's bringing it together. Administration brings harmony. Where there is administration, the church can thrive. Where there is no administration, there's chaos. And people get burned out. And the church cannot be the church God has called it to be. Every piece matters. All of us are uniquely gifted. Every one of us, a piece in God's perfect plan, so that we look less like this and more like this. The body of Christ. Everyone uniquely gifted. Everyone a piece in God's perfect plan. You are uniquely gifted. Over these next few weeks, let's be in a journey of discovery, a journey that will lead to your fulfillment and fruitfulness in the body of Christ. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you that none of us have all of the gifts. In fact, some of the gifts seem absolutely foreign to us. But you have so arranged the body that every gift coming together make the body function. So we thank you that we are the body of Christ, that the ear cannot say to the foot, I have no need for you, but that we need one another. Oh, Lord, help us to be the kind of church, the kind of community that says to one another, you're uniquely gifted by the power of the Holy Spirit, a piece in God's perfect plan. May we be that image of Christ to the world, your hands and feet, for your glory, that we might be more fruitful and your people might be more fulfilled. We pray this in the name of the one who called us to be one body, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.